May the dear Lord help me to say a few things from the book of Daniel, chapter 6, and verse 20, the latter part, but I'll read the whole verse. Daniel chapter 6, verse 20, "And he came to the den. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" Daniel chapter 6, verse 20. "O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions?" "Thy word is pure," said the psalmist, "therefore I love it." Friends, a question to us as we commence this morning: have you got a love to the word of God? Why do you love it? Who have you seen in it? Who does it speak of? We should have such a love to it, shouldn't we? It should be where we resort continually. The psalmist said again, "Rejoice my soul, O Lord, for I lift up my soul unto thee." This morning, did you lift your soul up to God as you come in? Or is it just another time? Just another Sunday? Oh, the personal experience of a child of God, of the Redeemer. He redeemeth the soul of his people. And every one, remember it, friends, every one that trusteth in him shall not be ashamed. Not one of them. Not one of the people of God are ever ashamed of their God. Now, omnipotence has servants everywhere. Everywhere you walk, God is working. Everything you look at, God is working. Because the Lord reigneth. He reigns on high. Do we remember it? We do at times, and then we forget it. But even those times when we forget him, he's reigning. He's still reigning. He is. And omnipotence means, doesn't it, to be supreme, almighty, invincible, glorious. This is our God. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. He never closes his eyes, friends. You think of the beauty of that for his people. Our Redeemer never blinks. He never misses a thing. Dear Daniel, he was found in a place and a situation that he hadn't chosen himself. He had been put there. And he would not have chosen it. Out of all the choices in the world, he would have never chosen it. God saw fit to put him there. Are you walking it out, friend? Is there something in your life that God has put into your life or put you into something? Something that you wouldn't have chosen. But God has put you there. Oh, Daniel. He was a favourite of God, wasn't he? Does that make him above the people of God? No. Every single one of them are favourites. Every one of them. He'd been taken down into Babylon as a captive. Such a gracious man. Should it be, friends? It's a help to you and me, isn't it? These dear characters are a help to you and I. Daniel, in captivity. There's a beautiful word, and it's this. And it was fulfilled with Daniel, and it will be fulfilled with you, wherever you are, child of God. Even there, shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand, listen to it, dear brother, dear sister, in Christ, shall hold me. hold me. The Redeemer's hands holding the people of God. He shall hold me there. Where? Exactly where he puts his people. That's where he holds them. Lovely thought, isn't it? If the Lord's put you in something, you're not there alone. You're not on your own. You're not. And you, dear young people, oh, may you be taught of the Lord. And always remember that the Lord has made himself available. He's made himself accessible to every one of his people. Every one of them. And you won't weary him. He's an unwearied God. The lady in the gospel thought that she was going to weary the unjust judge, didn't she? You will never weary the Redeemer. Never. Keep knocking, keep asking, keep begging, keep going to him. You will never, ever weary him. And in the end, he will answer. He will. And do you know, I really believe that some of us live our lives just as though the Lord's cast off Israel. Just as though he's cast them off and gone away from them. He cannot. He's joined himself to the people of God. He still cares for them. There's a lovely word, isn't there? He careth for you. What, this morning? I felt it 10 years ago. I really felt that he cared for me 20 years ago. But now, who's changed, friends? You or him? He careth for you. And in that he's put you in, that you're in, who's allowed it? You trace your steps, friends, back up to the throne. You'll see who's allowed it. You'll see who permitted it. You'll see who brought it to pass. Him who sits above all. Oh, Daniel. Oh, Daniel. We read this word about Daniel, don't we? He said, oh, Daniel, greatly beloved. Fear not, fear not. Peace be unto you. And you know how the verse carries on? It says something so lovely, doesn't it? Well, it's lovely to my heart, and I hope it is to you. When he spoke unto me, I was strengthened. Then, proving the living God speaking, Daniel was strengthened because the Lord spoke to him. How many times have you come into this dear old sanctuary and the Lord has spoken to you and you've gone out stronger than you came in? You don't go out weaker, do you? I know there are times when you go out weaker, friends, but if the Lord speaks to you to strengthen you, you'll go out stronger. You will. You'll go out able to face things. You'll go out willing to face things. You'll go out in such a different spirit to what you came in. Beautiful gospel, isn't it, friends? What would we do without it? What would you really do without the gospel? What would you do without the Redeemer? What would you do without this precious word? You'd struggle on, wouldn't you? Well, you might be struggling this morning, but remember, he's still there and he's still willing and he's still able. Oh, Daniel, servant of the willing, living God. Now, when God seals and applies a word to our hearts, it's not written with ink. It's not written as a note, friends. He writes it in the fleshy tables of the heart. When he says he cares for his people, he writes it into their hearts so that they never lose it. How many bits of paper have you lost in your life? How many little notes have you lost? Such precious little things, you thought you'd keep them. It might even be a text, and you've put it on the wall, or you've hidden it in a book, or you've put it somewhere, and you lose it, don't you? Not written with ink, but written with the Spirit of the living God, into our hearts. Now, there's many people, many over the years, many throughout Scripture, that have tried to stand against this God, the living God. But one by one, he's dealt with them. One by one, he's moved them out of the way. That lovely little couplet, isn't it? He says, all creation must give place to the subjects of his grace. The whole creation will give place, friends, will move for exactly what his people need, for what they desire in him, he is able to do it. And here Daniel was proving it. He had gone all that way, he'd been in captivity, and he was found in this place to prove that God lived. Well, you say, we know he knew it. He knew God lived. He prayed to him constantly. And look how the Lord deepens the work in a sinner's heart. Look how he reveals himself to him in a greater measure. Look how he goes before him. You know, I really believe the life of God in us does not lay dormant. Faith will not let the life of God lay dormant in our hearts. It will go out after Christ. It will. If you haven't got a religion that's going after Christ, friends, go back to the beginning and start all over again and beg and beg and plead with him. Your faith should be going after Christ, just as Daniel's was. You say he was a praying man, he prayed in the Spirit 3 times a day. Yes, but look what he had to walk out. Because he was after Christ. He was after the dear Redeemer. The day is coming when the dear Redeemer will be the only person in our lives that we need, that we really need. There will be nobody else on the face of the earth that we will need by our bedside, but one person. The Redeemer himself. And Daniel knew it. Oh, Daniel walked it. He knew the servant of the living God. But to think where he was put, friends. Sometimes we look at our path, don't we? Sometimes we look at the path the Lord has put us into and we really think he's made a mistake. You know, this old flesh sometimes could think, well, we could have done better. We could have made the path easier. We could have made it brighter. We could have made it more straight. But the sanctified heart is willing to accept it. The sanctified heart sees that it's in love. All in love. Oh, may we find ourselves here. Not just Daniel, friends. May we find ourselves in this very word, servant of the living God. Because we all need this living God. You know, it's so impressed upon my heart that he still lives. He's still living. He lives above the skies, friends. He still has a human heart. He still retains it. He still has a love to his people. He still feels for them. He is the head and he feels for every member of his body. When you're in pain, he knows it. When you feel depressed and low, he knows it. He feels for their infirmities. Isn't it wonderful to have somebody that actually understands us, actually knows us, actually feels for us, though he's throned in glory? He doesn't feel pain now, does he? He doesn't feel like we do in our pains. But he feels for his people. Doesn't it rejoice your heart sometimes that he actually knows you? When you pour out your heart to him sometimes and you can't express how you feel, can you? You can't actually tell him how you feel. Words don't seem to captivate your feelings, do they? Because he knows. He knows just how you feel. That's how and why he's able to answer, just like he does. That's why he's able to suit the word just what you need and more. You know those times, don't you, friends, when you've been feeling how you've been feeling, and the Lord has applied a word to your heart and it's done more for you than you could have expressed. It's done everything for you. And it's taken in those things you didn't even tell him. You hadn't even told him some things, and yet it's in all in the word. What a favour divine it is, isn't it? And dear Daniel was here, wasn't he? The living God. The living God. One that lives. We must have the life of God in us, friends. We really must. Throughout the book of Isaiah, the Lord speaks and he says, I am God, and there is none else. None else. There is no God beside me. It's kind of him to tell us that, isn't it? Because when we take up with things and when we... You know what your old wicked heart's like, don't you? He says, there's only one God. And child of God, you'll be back to me. You'll come back to me. You say, do the people of God stray like that then? In your thoughts, in your desires, in those things in your innermost heart, those things you'd never repeat to anybody else, those things that sometimes you're ashamed to say in prayer, aren't you? He says, I am God. And there's none else, none else. I girded thee when thou knewest not me. Oh, to have Daniel's God, the living God. This is what we need, isn't it? Have you proved that he's living? Have you got a living God? I mean, do you have that sweet communion with someone that lives? Does he intimate that he loves you? Does he send down those special tokens to your heart? Do you realise from time to time that he's watching over you? Do you realise that he's leading and caring for you? Are you able to tell him everything? The living God. And the question is, and what a question it is thy God whom thou servest continually able? Do you know, when we read words like this, it makes us feel so small, doesn't it? It makes us feel so insignificant. It makes us feel so backward, doesn't it? Whom thou servest continually. May we never be left to misrepresent our God. May we never be left to bring scorn on his name by our deeds, our words, our thoughts. He's reproached by so many. He is, friends. But if, oh, you think of the doubts. What's it doing? Is that what a believer should be doing? You know, there's so many things that feed our fear, aren't there? There's so many things that feed our worries, that feed our anxieties. They feed on them, don't they? And you know, the word says, they feared where no fear was. How often are we like that? We fear, don't we, and we tremble. Just a personal experience, friends. Over the last few days, I've been trembling and trembling and trembling and fearing over something, a particular matter. And in a moment, it was cleared up. Feared where no fear was. No fear at all. It's not grounded. There's nothing grounded in our fears. Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God. Oh, may we be able to serve him, friends. May we really be able to serve this King of Glory. What should we be doing? What should faith be feasting on? Those things that nourish it. Those things that encourage it. You know, I really believe if you feast on the knowledge of God, the living God, it'll keep you in the ways of God. I mean by faith. I don't mean in the head. I don't mean being abide by tradition. I mean by faith. It'll keep us close to Jesus. It will. You know, how often do you pull your chair up and sit with the devil at the table? What does he spread out on the table? Have you looked what he's spreading out on the table? And you're willing to sit there with him? He puts fear on the table. He puts doubt on the table. He puts unbelief on the table. And you carry on sitting there. I'm preaching to my own heart, friends. How often we pull our chair up and there he is. And that's all he can dish up. That's all the things he can put on the table. Do you sit at the gospel table? Tell me, friends, when you've sat at the gospel table, have you ever looked over at the dishes and have you ever seen a dish with fear written on it? You've seen one with fear not on it, haven't you? You haven't seen one with fear on it. Have you seen a dish with doubt on? No. The Lord doesn't serve up those things, friends. The gospel table spread. It is. And it's spread for the child of God. And how often we would rather choose to sit with the devil than we would to sit at the gospel table. That's us, isn't it? It's a blessing mercy's in control. It's a blessing that mercy's already supplied the chair. It's a blessing that mercy brings you along and takes you from one place to another and puts you at that table, isn't it? Otherwise you'd stay there and you'd stay in doubt and you'd stay in fear. You would? But for grace. Oh, but for this invincible, powerful grace working in the heart to spread the gospel feast and then to put the sinner there. Has he done it for us? Has he literally taken us from one table and put us on another so that we've enjoyed his delicacies? We do need it. You know, the fear of man, it brings a snare. It really does. The Lord is so right in every single thing he says. The fear of man, it brings a snare, doesn't it? What does the fear of God do? It takes the snare away. That's what it does. It takes every net away, takes every trap away, takes every obstacle away. What a difference. Oh, the fear of God in the sinner's heart. It does everything for them. Everything. Oh, may we be after it. And you can see this so clearly in Daniel's life, can't you? But there were so many that were willing to stop him. So many wanted to stop him. And they thought they had. You know, true faith lives and labours under load. It's founded deep in the heart it lies. It lives and labours under load, though damped it never dies. Now Daniel wasn't asked this question when he was in the courts of the palace. Is thy God able? He wasn't asked that. He wasn't asked it when everything was going right. I think of my heart, friends. I think of yours. Do you know an able God when everything's going all right? When everything seems smooth? When everything's to your taste, do you know an able God? Daniel had to go in amongst the enemies. He had to be surrounded. He could do nothing in and of himself. There was no help in self at all. And then the question comes, is thy God able? Seems such a paradox, doesn't it? You would have thought, wouldn't you, that the dear Daniel had known it before he'd gone in. I know he did in a little sense. But oh, how the Lord worked in his heart, didn't he? How he showed him. And he came to that point where he was almost breaking. We read it, don't we? Words on paper. We read it that a man was put down into a lion's den and the Lord delivered him and he brought him up out. I'll tell you, friends, if you've been in a lion's den, you know it's totally different. If you've had to walk something of this out, you'll know it's completely different. And what a figure this is of the dear Redeemer's tomb, isn't it? Did you notice that they brought a stone and they put over the mouth of it and the king sealed it? Think what the dear Lord Jesus went through in the tomb. You say, well, he was dead. He plagued death. He destroyed death. Think of how Daniel felt. Cast into the den of lions. Oh, the prayer. The begging of the Lord. Think how many times he looked up and said, save me, Lord. Save me. Lord, help me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, do come. Come quickly. Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually. And now, when you come into these places, what's your heart's response, friends? How do you answer? They say there's no help for him in God. Do you say the Lord's forgotten me? Do you say he's left me? We do, we get there, don't we? When we come into these places, that's exactly how we feel, isn't it? What does faith say? Faith looks away. Whatever path you're in, friend, faith always looks out of it and says, our God is in the heavens. Faith says our God will come. Faith says that he will deliver. And this is where Daniel was. May we be encouraged by this little, I know it's a very well-known text, it's a very well-known portion of the Bible, but it's not well-known when you're in it, friends. It's not. When you actually come into these things and you realise what these dear characters went through for the Lord to prove over and over again that he's living for them. That he's there and he's ready to save me. Oh, friends, you know, there was so much, wasn't there, that was trying to stop Daniel as a praying man. There was so much that was trying to stop Daniel in the way of godliness. And there will be for every child of God. And there will be much self-sacrifice in a child of God's life. It is not a rose-covered path to glory, friends. There is so much self-sacrifice. There's so much against the child of God. There's so much in the way that would stop us and turn us out of the way, but for the living God. Oh, it does. It really does my heart good as I look at this word and I think the Lord delivered dear Daniel. He actually brought him from where he was at a standpoint, surrounded with lions, surrounded in that little cave, in that little tomb, in that little prison, in that little hole, in that little place that he couldn't get out of. And yet the Lord was there. The Lord was there. Doesn't that rejoice your heart sometimes? That even doesn't matter where you are, the Lord is there. It says, doesn't it, in the end of Ezekiel, the Lord is there. Oh, to need him and to find that he really is in our pathway with us, as the dear Daniel did. Well, I think here, as we look at this, as dear Hezekiah, if ever a man knew God, he did. And yet look what the Lord made him go through. The king of Assyria came. And he said to all the people, and you think how heart-rending this must have been for Hezekiah, where did he put his trust? Where did he look? Where was his anchor? In Christ. You know, the king of Assyria came and he said, don't let Hezekiah deceive you. None shall deliver out of my hand. You know, the king of Assyria even says this. He says, where are all the gods of the other nations? Where are they all? I've overtaken all of them and all their gods have gone. But not this God. Not our God. And if you read that little passage, it says about Hezekiah and the people, he told them not to answer a word. Don't answer. Silence. And they proved, and the proving of it with you and I, if we really are believers in this living God, if we really do have an interest in him, if we really have something for eternity, friends, because these things are for time in our providential pathway, they are for our walk here below, but these things are sealed into our hearts for eternity. And we must have something for eternity. I know you hear it every Sunday. I know you do. But we really must have something for eternity. We know not the day, we know not the hour, but we know it's coming. We know that day is coming. And do we serve God continually? It can only be the people of God that this is ever spoken of, to continue. To continue, friends. To continue. When the adversary says it's no good praying, when the adversary says you might as well give up, leave it. When the adversary says he can't hear you, a sympathizing high priest, he hears every word. He hears every heartbeat. He knows every thought of every single one of us. Oh, may Daniel's God be our God. May Ruth's God be our God. As she said to Naomi, thy God, my God. Oh, to serve him continually, but to praise him continually. Do we praise him continually? You know, the three that went into the fire, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, who is the God that shall deliver out of my hand? And right in the middle of that furnace, friends, they saw who the God was that could deliver out of the king's hand. One like unto the Son of Man, walking, unharmed, unburnt, in the fire. Remember the fires that you and I come into. Remember those fires, friends. He's there in the fire, walking with them. You know, I think of a little story that I read years ago about a row of cottages. And a fire broke out in the first one. It spread to the second one. It spread to the third one. There was a godly family in the fourth one. They wouldn't move. Everybody else was running. But the wind changed. And the sparks flew over onto the fifth one. And burnt the fifth one down and left the fourth one standing. You said, can that really be true? Can that really be true? One house standing in a whole row of cottages. Because they believed in a living God. Have you ever read Jericho, friends? Have you read in the book of Joshua what house there was left standing? I thought of this, you know, you read that. Rahab's house was on the town wall. We're told it by the Holy Spirit. He says it's on the town wall. It wasn't detached. It wasn't separate. Well, could it stand, friends, if it was separate and detached from everything else and everything fell down? No harm to it. It was on the town wall. Why does he tell us that? Because that makes it even more a miracle. Joshua gave the command after circling the walls of Jericho. And we hear the rule, and we see and know and read the walls of Jericho fell down. Except one house. It was on the wall of Jericho. It never fell down. Isn't there a beauty in it? It was joined to everything that should be falling. And yet it stood alone. Because of this living God. Our God is able, friends. He is able. Whatever you're in this morning, whatever you're coming into, whatever our life consists of, whatever pathway the Lord has for you, he is able to deliver. He is. Never lose it. Hold tight to it, friends. Daniel had to. David had to. He said to Saul, didn't he? Saul clothed him out in his own armour, the best armour in the army. The best sword, everything, the best shield. He had everything that was best. He said, I haven't proved these. He said, I can't go with these. I have never proved these. He put them all off. He said, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he shall deliver me out of this hand of this giant. Is that your religion, friends? Is it mine? To go forth in faith, You say, well, these are little stories. They had to walk it out. And why did they walk it out? For your and my instruction. That's why they walked it out, friends. So that you and I would be encouraged. So that you and I, one day, even today, would realise what we're in, the Lord's still able. Just a little personal note, when I worked on the building, I was on this site and I had to set out all the houses. About 7 houses, I think it was. And I set the first one out and I must have done it a little bit wrong. God knew. The second one was all right. I couldn't get them all in. I couldn't get one of them in. It was too late to change it. So I rang my boss up and I said, I'm really sorry, but I can't get one of the houses in. He said to me, try again. He said, you've got to get it in. Which I knew I had. Do you go to prayer, friends, on everything? Didn't pray when I set the first one out. Didn't pray when I set the second one out. Come to the third one. I was almost in despair. I went into the little site office. Is thy God able? Is he able, friends? This is just in natural things. When you come to eternal things, it's beyond us. I went into the little site office and I did beg of the Lord. How could he do it? How could he change it? How could he sort it out for me? Just at that very precise moment, the man that was building one of the houses on the plot, which he had his foot in and up to the slab level, he came into the office. He said, is everything all right? I said, I can't get one of the houses in. I said, I've measured it and I can't get it in. He said, come with me. We went out and measured it again. And the Lord had changed the measurements. He'd actually changed the measurements. You say, it can't be. Can't it? He can change anything. He can change absolutely anything, friends. He is unchangeable. He will never change. He can't change, but he can change everything else. Everything, he can change it. And me and this man that the Lord had sent, we set out the whole site. We could just get it in. I phoned back and I said, we've managed to get that house in. He said, I knew you would. Nothing to do with me, friends. The Lord changed everything before my very eyes. Is thy God able? Is he able to do it for you? Is he able to do everything for you? Do you rely upon him? Do you continually go to him? Do you watch what he's doing for you? Do you apply your heart to it, friends? Oh, thy God is able. He's so able, isn't he? And he's perfectly able. You know, the two blind men that followed Jesus, they followed him. Blind men following Jesus. How many blind are following him here? You say, I wish I could see. I could see a little bit. Are you blind following Jesus, friends? These two blind men followed him. Lovely thought, isn't it? When we were blind, following Jesus so that he should recover our sight. You know, they followed him into the house. And he says to them, dost thou believe that I am able? Do you, friend? Do you believe he's able today to recover you of your sight? Oh, I hope and pray that many of you, all of us, are brought to what their answer was. Yea, Lord, we believe. We believe thou art able. Able to do it. Now, what is it in your life, friends? What is it in mine? He's able to do everything. He's able to help. He's able to instruct. He's able to uphold. He's able to lead. He's able to guide. He's able to constrain. He's able to help you through things. He's able to help you speak. He's able to help you endure. Do you need him? Do you need him to be able? Do you? Able to do everything for me. And there's some things you need doing, isn't there? Oh, there's some things you need doing. In your heart, you write lists day after day, don't you? And do you know, friend, sometimes you keep adding to the list, don't you? If it's as if it's not long enough, and then you put something else on the bottom, don't you? But do you tick him off when he's able? Do you take him off the top, friends, when he's able? Is your list, has your list ever got smaller? I believe to a child of God, continually growing, continually getting smaller. That's our God, isn't he? Dealing with the things in a perfect way, in his own sovereign way, he works his will. In his own sovereign way, he will do it exactly how he pleases to do it, to suit him and not to suit you. And that is the rub with you and I, friends. You think he's going to work to suit you. I do. No. He works to suit himself, and he makes you willing to receive it. He makes you agree with his will. He doesn't change his will to yours. He changes your will to his. Oh, dear Daniel, what instruction we have here for each one of us, don't we? Is he able to deliver thee, Daniel? Is he really able to deliver thee from the lions? Well, do you need delivering today? Do you need delivering from something, friends? Because the dear apostle says, doesn't he, who hath delivered? I do love that word, friends. I really love that word where it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. And all the way through the scripture, the apostles and the characters, they take it up. The apostle said, who hath delivered yesterday? Who hath delivered us from so great a death yesterday? Who doth deliver today? He does deliver, friends. He really does deliver. When it pleases him. When the time has come. When his heart's moved to do it. When one of the decrees of heaven come to pass, he delivers. You know, everything moves on undisturbed to him. You think, how can it? I'm so disturbed. I'm so perturbed. I'm in such perplexity and trial. Because that's us. Faith will, sometimes faith, will take you to the place where it's undisturbed. You'll see his mind. You'll see his way, just for a few moments on earth. Undisturbed affairs move on. Everything that he's purposed is coming to pass. Everything. Every decree of heaven is being unfolded in time. Wonderful if you're part of it. It's absolutely beautiful if you're part of it, friends. The purposes of glory towards your heart and mine. And it's moving undisturbed. Because he's delivering his people. Daniel knew it. My God has sent his angel. My God has sent his angel and shut the lion's mouths. In a gospel sense, deliverance is sure. In a gospel sense, deliverance is assured. In a gospel sense, deliverance is guaranteed to every one of his people. It is. Do we believe it though? But just as we come to the end, one bore the precious name of Deliverer, our dear Lord Jesus. That was one of his names, the Deliverer. I shall bring a Deliverer out of Zion. He shall deliver my people. The Deliverer himself was put among lions. and he wasn't delivered. No arm went to help him. No arm stretched out to take him. He was put among lions. The deliverer himself. He doth deliver. Beautiful word, isn't it? My God doth deliver, said Daniel. Oh, what a precious view he had of the dear Lord Jesus. What a sweet revelation he had of a precious Christ as he was among lions. And the angel wasn't sent to shut their mouths. He shut them. He dealt with them in his own way, in the tomb. He dealt with them. And when he was here on earth, what a thought, isn't it? I'd better come to a point. Whom thou servest is service continually able to deliver thee from the lions. Well, this is Daniel's God. This is Paul's God. This is Peter's God. I'll leave you with a question. Is it our God? Is it really our God? After all these years of sitting in chapel, after all these years of making a profession, after all these years, is he our God? Is he really our God? O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? My God hath sent an angel. May the dear Lord forgive anything that's been said amiss. Amen.